Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are in the Fen. We're in the Fen March. And we are going to go to Swarway Billabong. Because we haven't been there yet, and because it's a fun thing to say. Billabong, Billabong, Billabong. Here we go. Oh, and nearby it is the Boomerang Tavern, where we will be going soon. See how long we take in the actual place. Fed by a narrow, swift-flowing creek out of the hills to the north, the clear, placid waters of Swarway Billabong glitter like a jewel in the midst of the fragrant glade that serves to conceal the refuge from all but the wariest of gazes. A stony path lined with the strange but beautiful array of trees, including plentiful red and white gums, a legion of golden waffles, a plethora of smaller paper barks, leads south from the pool and runs up to the foot of the majestic towering statue. You immediately recognise the monument that honours Gregor, one of the age's most prolific, and some would say, illustrious adventurers. So there's another one of those massive claw-shaped standing stones here. But that's going to be like all the other massive claw-shaped standing stones. So I'm just going to skip over that. We can approach the pool first, and then the monument, start with the pool. Standing at the edge of the pool, regaled by the melodic chirping of unseen birds, you peer into the crystal waters and are amused at the varied abundance of life it contains. Schools of small fish dart and dive in and out of its depths, now and again scattering across the surface, sending gentle ripples lapping up to the pool's edge. Dozens of sizable crayfish, commonly known as marlin, meander through the shallows on the hunt for their next morsel. Now, there's an observation link for shallows. Several large rocks, each surrounded by a small thicket of weeds, are scattered throughout the shallows. Again. Nope. Alright, linger at the edge of the pool. You suddenly spot something flash in the pool, and amazed to see a particularly large crayfish emerge from the deeper water, a shiny object clutched in his white claw. As the creature scuttles into the shadows, you can clearly discern the glittering object it's clutching is a silver wing. Well, no, it's its wing, so I could get it, but decide against it. After a minute, the large marlin retreats back into the deeper water, still clutching the silver wing. Yeah, it's just going to keep turning up there. Yeah, it's going to keep wandering around until I take the wing. It's like it's showing it off to me, saying, "Hey, take this wing!" Attempt to acquire the wing. Determined to retrieve the silver wing from the maroon. Is this rude? I don't know. You crouch at the edge of the pool and wait as the unsuspecting creature draws closer. And in fact, I'm probably using my toady powers just to, you know, dive into the pool and use my inaccurate, but the wizard who turned me into that didn't know that, stretchy tongue to just, you know, to just grapple the Moan. When the Quay Fist is with arms elite, you shoot out your inaccurately long tongue, picking a number. Bonus for 60, 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck, 20 from woodmanship. It's perhaps different skills, but the game doesn't know that. Pick now. 105, success. You lose your footing and topple into the pool while lunging for the Quay Fist. Toppling further into the pool, but managed to take hold of the slippery creature. Very careful to avoid hurting the maroon, and to avoid being hurt at the same time, because it's got these snippy claws. And doing your best to dodge its claws, you manage to procure the wing. Then, with gentle flair, you return the Quay Fist to the pool, where it promptly scurries off into the shadows. I have an unidentified shiny silver wing. It bears no marquee of any kind. Yes, it's current. No. For stepping out of the pool, you take a few moments to examine the silver wing. Discover it bears no markings of any kind. Still pondering how the wing made it into the pool and into the clutches of a curious quayfish, you step back from the edge of the water. Okay, I'm going to go to somewhere, to Stormfield, and get this wing identified using the power of Arcania. Using your skill of Arcania, you look through the items that you're currently carrying to identify any that are currently unidentified. I now have the Silver Wing of Brawn and another 16 experience to Arcania. Alright, let's have a closer look at it then. Wing, Silver Wing of Brawn. It's got a melee weighting of 1 and a might plus 1. It's actually a pretty decent ring, considering that you could get it the instant you start the game, where these stats would, you know, where even a wing as puny as this would be worth equipping. This shiny enchanted silver wing bears no markings of any kind. Okay, I'll be storing that in my grand residence soon. Back to Sorway Billabong. Billabong, Billabong. Look in the pool. Yep. You suddenly spot a long, thin shadow passing through the deeper water towards the centre of the pool. For only a few seconds, the shadow slinks into the clear depths and vanishes. Yeah, and that's just what happens if you've got the ring. Move away from the pool. Approach the monument. The awe-inspiring monument of Gregor. A statue that depicts the legendary adventurer clad in his distinctive skull-emblazoned waif-like armor rises up before you, reaching a truly astounding height. Standing straight, his chain-clad white hand pressed down upon the pommel of his jet-black blade, the fearsome Shadowfire sword. His left hand tucked behind the ornate tower shield he's gripping. Wait, if we know the blade's black, does that mean that this statue is painted rather than just being, you know, rock coloured, you know, like we traditionally imagine statues, because they did that, but because the classical statues that we regard as the pinnacle of statuing statueness have had all the paint fork come off by now. So we just imagine a plain, unpainted statue to be more classy. Even though the people in ancient times would be like, why would I do that? I want the statue to look like me! His left hand tucked in behind the ornate tower shield. It's gripping. The master adventurer's engraved face bears an expression that simultaneously suggests compassion, nobility and determination. His famous bow is slung over his left shoulder, and from behind his white shoulder there protrudes the top of an arrow-filled quiver. A well-tended wall of shrubbery and several broad bands of colourful wildflowers surround the monument's base. Staring up at the impressive statue, you're immediately reminded of the countless heroic tales of adventure involving Gregor, a man whose inconquerable spirit and very large cash donations. But that's not Gregor, that's the bad guy behind Gregor, has helped forge the destiny of the kingdom. Alright, examine the inscription at the base of the monument. The inscription, carved along the bottom edge of one of the massive stone blocks supporting the towering statue, seems to cryptically refer to a reward awaiting anyone able to scale the 150-foot monument. Gazing up at the dizzying heights to which the statue soars, you begin to consider the very notion of such a climb to border on madness. Unfortunately, I am filled with madness. A whispered madness, you might say. So I'm going to attempt to climb it anyway. Attempt to climb the monument. Climbing the square base of the monument, boops, relatively simple. And after only a couple of minutes, you stand at the foot of the towering statue. Staring upwards, you carefully contemplate the perilous endeavour you're about to undertake. The dangerous ascent will be just over 150 feet. Begin! Single-minded of purpose, you cast aside a small handful of nagging doubts and begin the daunting climb up the towering statue. Begin. Only 15 feet into the climb, you're already beginning to feel fatigued. The statue's smooth surface offers only scattered footholds and handholds, making every movement a struggle. Picking a number, bonus of 60, 15 from agility, 15 from body, 10 from spirit, and 20 from feathery. Got to get 60 or more to climb higher. Pick now. 80 success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Just over 30 feet above the base, you begin to move laterally across the front of the statue as you search for any nook or crevice that will allow you to pull yourself higher. Maybe I'm at the base of the shield now? Picking a number. Bonus of 60. Yeah, same as before, got it at 65. 144, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. You're almost 50 feet into your climb. A quick glance down, something you swore to yourself you wouldn't do, but you keep doing, reveals the dangerous spot you're in. Not certain you could even climb down from here, you press on, your hands seeking the next hold as you continue your brazen ascent, picking a number. Yep, same bonus, gotta get 70 now, pick now. 133, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. 60 feet, you begin to question the wisdom of attempting to make the climb. A fool, but I am deafened by a silent roar before I do too much of that. A fall from this height would almost certainly prove fatal, something you try to push from your mind as you struggle to ward off your growing fatigue. Ultimately undeterred, you continue upwards. Right, let's check again. Same as again, but bonus 75. 80 success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the lagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Looking up, without daring to look down, you estimate you're halfway up the monument, perhaps close to 80 feet above its base. The calculation does little to ease your mind. Hoping your fingers will hold out, you seek out your next handhold while pausing to catch your breath and ease the burn in your muscles. It's the same check as before. Pick now. 67. Failure. Suddenly, your heart skips a beat and a horrified gasp escapes your lips as you suddenly lose your grip and begin sliding off the statue. Pick your number. Bonus of 60. 10 from luck. 20 from agility. 10 from body. 20 from feathery. Gotta get 75 or more. 4 to my death. Pick now. Unable to failure. 64. Unable to catch yourself. You topple off the statue and plummet to the ground far below. Your eyes wide in terror and your arms and legs flailing in a vain effort to halt your tumbling descent. Only scant seconds after losing your grip and toppling off the statue, you slam into the monument's broad stone base, dead upon impact. You've been killed. Well, that was going, if we kept climbing up these statues, that was going to happen eventually. And now it has. The adventure has come to an end. Fear not, Sir Croakington. You need only click please continue below to proceed and restore to your last save game. I'm doing that. Okay, I'm just gonna pause for a bit while we get back where we left off. Looking up. Without daring to look down, you estimate you're halfway up the monument, perhaps close to 80 feet above its base. The calculation does little to ease your mind. Hoping that your fingers hold out, you seek your next handhold while pausing to catch your breath and ease the burn in your muscles. Alright, same check as before, but hopefully no dying this time. 97, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. A quick upward glance reveals you're nearing the neck and shoulder region of the statue, for the observation seems to only increase your tension. Realising the odd, precipitous angles of sculpture's stone won't provide you with any safe spot in which to rest, you press on, cursing under your breath, as your hand scours the smooth stone for its next hold. Same check as before. 128, success. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Having just surpassed what you surmise to be the 100-foot mark of your climb, you can't help but smile when you consider the action of anyone who might, at this very moment, be witnessing your daring ascent. The amusement is short-lived, however, as you promptly refocus on the task at hand, a task that requires your full attention. Picking a number, same check as before. 82, success, but only dust. Struggling to maintain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Anchor yourself around the base of the statue's neck, looking for a way to pull yourself up and onto the side of the head. You whisk a downward glance. From this height, you can make out only the vaguest details of the monument's base and ground far below. Vowing not to again look down, till you reach the top, you resume your climb, same check again. 64. Failure. Oh. Your heart skips a beat and a horrified gasp escapes your lips as you suddenly lose your grip and begin sliding off the statue. Pick your number. Bonus 60. 10 from luck. 20 from agility. 10 from body. 20 from thievery. Got to get 75 or more. You know what happens if I fail. Pick now. I have failed. Oh dear. I think I've pushed my luck too much with all my previous statue climbs. And I've ran out of luck. So now I can no longer climb these statues. Dead. Dead. Yep. Dead, dead, dead. Alright. Once again, I will pause until we get to back where we were. Because using the magic of video games and probably a little bit of help from that COS and the other time bendy people who really, really don't like having to constantly save me from my own idiocy, I am somehow okay, even though I died. Or something like that. Anyway, we'll be back at 110 feet or something up, and hopefully not fall into our death again. Well, here's something new. We're getting the wing, but we didn't. You lose your footing and topple into the pool while lunging for the crayfish, but manage to take hold of the slippery creature. Before you can snap the wings, the mooring's left claw clamps down on your right front leg, forcing you to stifle a painful yelp. One damage. Unable to maintain your grip on the crayfish, the creature slips back into the pool and promptly retreats into deeper water, still clutching the wing. Alright, that's that. Right, I'm back to the base of the statue's neck. Same check again, but hopefully without the dying. 104 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. Gasping, and with sweat streaming down your face, you look up and realise you're within just a few feet of the top of the statue's head, taking care not to let your elation temper your diligence. You return to concentrating on the task immediately at hand. The safe completion of the last dozen feet of your climb. Same check again. 125 success. Struggling to retain your grip on the statue's smooth, angular surface, you claw your way higher, resisting the nagging urge to look down as you make the perilous ascent. 64 XP to general. Bathed in sweat, with your limbs aching, you haul yourself over the angled edge of the statue's head and come to rest atop Gregor's monument. After lying on your back for nearly a minute and staring up at the sky, as you recover from the arduous climb, you return to your feet and survey the impressive view afforded by your lofty vantage. From your perch atop the statue's head, just over 150 feet above the ground, you can see for a dozen miles in all directions. The colourful landscape mosaic stretches to the horizon, forging a scene of true beauty that both inspires and exhilarates. Even the sparkling waters of Swarway Billabong appear a little more than a glittering speck from this dizzying height. As you warily make your way around the statue's broad head, taking care not to place your feet too close to the edge, because somehow, even though it didn't happen, you are quite familiar with what it feels like to fall even from most of the way up the statue. But I died, so that... Time wizards!
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You peer down at the realm that seems more peaceful to you than you have ever known it. Suddenly, alerted by a movement to your left, you whip your head in that direction and are startled to find a tall man clad in a green tunic and a grey cape standing only a few feet away. A wide-brimmed leather hat covers his head, casting a deep shadow that largely obscures his slender face. Still climbing these things, he says, shaking his head. Hope that someone would have dissuaded you from it by now. Falling off one of them might do it, but that's a rather grim thing to say, and I apologise for having said it. The stranger tosses you a small cloth pouch. Discover contains a tiny Waven bone cube. That's 6 of them now. Keep that safe, he says. Not the pouch, mind you, the cube. If you manage to collect enough of those, something quite extraordinary will result from it. You immediately inquire about the something quite extraordinary, but the man shrugs in response. I don't know any more about it, he says. I suppose that would be because no one has yet collected enough of those little cubes. You're on your way with them, though. 64 XP to general. The stranger waves his hand and a glowing blue glyph in the form of a griffin silhouette appears directly in front of your feet. I think you already know, but this will get you back down in the safest possible manner. Can't always be around, mind you, so well, that would be that. Take care of yourself. With no particular reason to linger here, you bid the stranger farewell and step onto the glyph. A dazzling flash of blue light erupts from the glyph as you step onto it, causing you to instinctively close your eyes to protect them from the intensity of the glow. Only a split second later, when your eyes spring open, you discover you are once again standing on the ground next to the base of the monument. And that's that. Okay. Move away from the monument. Travel to the Boomerang Tavern. Set back from a broad stony path that runs east towards Swarway Billabong. Ooh, that's a fun thing to say. And west to a road that meanders into the very heart of Fenmarch. The Boomerang Tavern has long been a favourite stopover for travellers passing through this region of Crownhold. The two-story log structure, its overhanging roof providing a wide shaded walkway, has a stone chimney from which streams a thin, steady column of smoke. Its windows flicker with the glow of its fire, offering a promise of refuge and replenishment to anyone seeking a rest from their journeys. A handful of tables and chairs have been set up beneath the trees that flank the tavern, or often, as other admits, used by the tavern Boomerang's road-weary patrons. A wooden sign attached to the two lengths of black chain dangles from a post near the foot of the path leading up to the tavern's front door. Well, let's look at the sign first. Emblazoned upon the trio of planks that make up the dazzling sign is the following: the Boomerang Tavern, property Gregor. And Gregor is the most boosted character in the entire game. He's got 5,345 melee rating. That's more than 10 times as many as Sir Croakington. And 6,409 stamina points. It's nearly 20 times as many as Sir Croakington. And 1,357 melee rating. Unsurprisingly, the 7 attributes are 20. All the skills are level 100. All the powers are level 100. And lots and lots of waif-like equipment on. All the rings of command, the seals of splendor. So many neck armors. Just so many. They have 4 capes, somehow. Because they're the Ghost Web Spectre Neck and Spirit Stand Cloak. Which don't take up a slot. So they're just 3 stats, pretty much. The Waif-like Tabard, Waif-like Pendant of Griffin. Manacles of Havoc, Tumult, Chaos, and Oblivion. And more Waif-likes for the bracers. Sure likes his Waif-like stuff. Yeah, so apparently his equipment has changed since he had the statue made. Below the words is a deep branding that depicts a boomerang. Windcarver, boomerang. These ancient Vorathian weapons seldom deploys in the current age due to the difficulty of crafting them and the skill required to use them are both versatile and deadly. The typical windcarver, commonly referred to as a boomerang throughout the North Broadlands, consists of a piece of flat, curved wood, honed and balanced so it can be accurately thrown at a great distance. Traditionally, the outside edge of a windcarver was fitted with a thin metal blade that made being struck by the weapon a dangerous and often fatal encounter. Though mostly utilised for its ranged attack abilities, Windcarver is versatile and can be wielded by a skilled combatant as a melee weapon. Well, that's handy. Especially since if I'd throw them, they probably wouldn't come back. So that just solves that little problem. Okay. There's also Gregor's Fountain of Fortune. A grand fountain. It's 3 tiered stone bowls. Affixed to the blade of a towering sculpted sword, casts its shadow over the lush garden of brightly hued flowers and crawling vines. Look at the flowers. Among the many and varied flowers that make up the lush garden surrounding the fountain, you spot 2 remarkably rare specimens of orchid, the stone Smoke Whisper and the Blue Flame. While both orchids are said to possess healing properties, the Blue Flame variety is believed to cure conditions of the mind. Maybe I need that. But apparently I'm not going to take it because, I mean, this is someone else's orchid. I'll have to ask permission first. And vines. You adeptly identify one of the crawling vines that has affixed itself to the fountain's base as a particularly troublesome sort known as Tom Breach. While Tom Breach poses little threat to the living, the sinister plant has been known to work its snaking tendrils into craves and crypts, where it proceeds to slowly feast upon any remains it encounters. Ah, no, it's not Tom Preach, it's Tomb Reach. Makes sense, probably. Because preaching toms is not something that happens very often. As I would know. Imposing landmark, monument honouring Gregor, one of the age's most celebrated adventurers, is one of several fountains of fortune scattered throughout Tysa. Four streams of sparkling water spill out through square openings at the top of the sword's ornate hilt, noisily splashing down onto the stone bowls before collecting in a circular basin at the foot of the fountain. Drinking from the fountain is said to bestow a blessing of good fortune. Then I shall drink. Leaning over the base, edge of the basin, you scoop up a handful of sparkling water and take several long sips of the shimmering liquid. Almost instantly, the strange feeling wells up inside you, but the sensation swiftly passes, leaving you in possession of a renewed sense. Possession of renewed vigour and clarity of purpose. The ancient magic of the fountain's water is now coursing through you for the next 24 hours, providing you its wondrous benefits. Gregor's intrepid fortune added. I guess that's some sort of item. Is it? Or maybe not. Maybe it's one of those behind the scenes things. And one stone and points for the next 24 hours. Step away from the fountain. Okay. We looked around. Now, time to enter the tavern itself. A large four-sided fireplace dominates the centre of the tavern's spacious common room. The din of merriment, the mingled aromas of spiced paleo and whipped steed maroon, and probably they got someone from Swalloway Billabong, and the clatter of tankards craft an atmosphere ripe for relaxation, and perhaps a bit of intrigue. A motley assemblage of folks, largely composed of travellers whose journeys have momentarily adjoined here, fill the bustling space. The tavern's proprietor, the legendary adventurer Gregor, can sometimes be found amongst the crowd of patrons, greeting those whose gold flows into the tavern's ever-swelling coffers. The tavern keeper, a grey-haired man named Swarbor, sees to the operation of the tavern on behalf of its illustrious owner. Converse with Swarbor. Swarbor is friendly enough, who immediately senses preoccupied with something. He politely inquires about any news you may have acquired in your travels throughout the kingdom. I can't really be sure how accurate any news I might have may be, because my grip on reality is tenuous, to say the least. Because I keep having this notion to keep climbing up 150-foot statues, and apparently I've died a couple of times, but obviously I didn't because I'm alive, but I remember it. Weird. And in turn, he fills you in on a few bits of local gossip. Ask if something is bothering him. Telbor tells you that over the last several weeks, strange noises have been heard coming from the tavern cellar. I report it to Gregor, he says, making mention of the tavern's illustrious owner, but I have a lot of alarm over it. Not one to easily be bent out of shape over such things. And for a while the noises stopped, but they've returned with vengeance. You might say, and to make it worse, some of our guests have begun to notice. When you inquire about the nature of the noises, Salabor seems reluctant to elaborate, The ultimate provides a few telling details. Sarbor tells you that the noises, though strange and sinister, are difficult to describe. It's plain that something is moving about in the cellar, he says, his expression one of profound concern. And whatever it is, it shouldn't be here. You ask him if he's seen anything in the cellar that might explain the noises, and he immediately shakes his head. I haven't. And I'd rather not see whatever it is, he says. I'm not cut out for that sort of thing, if you follow. Whatever it is, mind, it's getting worse. Salabor seems about to continue with his description of the noises from the cellar, when you suddenly interrupt, telling him you will investigate and see if you can determine the source of the unsettling sounds. His eyes widen, and a look of relief washes over his face. Well, certainly welcome your help, he says, smiling. I'd rather not involve our esteemed landlord, as you might imagine. Rather capable sort, though, and no mistake. I'm sure you'll have a look and tell me if you find anything down there. Very much appreciated, my friend. You tell Salabor not to worry, and to investigate the cellar to determine the source of the strange noises that have been plaguing the tavern. He wishes you luck and repeatedly thanks you before excusing himself and moving away to dutifully tend to the needs of the tavern's patrons. Alright, now we have an adventure for this location. It's titled Sounds from the Cellar. There it is. Could be making those strange noises. That will be later. I'm going to have a look around first, buy some food and drink, because it's a tavern. Unable to resist the alluring aroma of the tavern's sumptuous visuals, you seek out an empty seat at the table near the fire and are soon tended by Ifri, a willowy, attractive serving girl, whose thick cloth apron is adorned with countless food and paleo stains. A long, thin scar runs down the left side of her face, which you learn is something she acquired while fending off the unwanted advances of a swirly big brigand several years ago. A fiend she subsequently and deftly dispatched with a dagger she used to keep strapped to her lower right leg. Alafri quickly recites the list of available food and drink, then patiently waits for you to make your selection. So I'll order the steamed maroon vegetables. The steamed maroon, specialty only found in the Boomerang Tavern, arrives on a wooden platter atop of a generous helping of fresh vegetables, also steamed, as you're digging into the delicious fortifying meal. Edfrank asks if you'll care for something to drink along with your food. Oh, I'll have the house ale. The house ale, which is brewed in the region and gently spiced upon its arrival in the tavern, is thick, flavourful and strong. Exceptionally filling, it proves to be no small task to finish off the entire frothing flagon of the Boomerang's signature beverage. After finishing your food and drink, you rise from the table and slowly make your way across the crowded, noisy common room. All right. Converse with Strelbor. Salabor greets you with a smile and asks about the recent doings. The grey-haired tavern keeper pointed politely reminds you about the strange noises coming from the cellar. I don't mean to be overly bothersome about it, he says, but folk are beginning to ask questions. Just thought I'd mention of it. All right, politely take my leave. Next one. Order the stew. The stew, comprised of a mix of rabbit, venison, and a salty vegetable and potato mash, is both delicious and extremely fortifying. You've only just taken your first bite. Well, if we ask if you'll care for something to drink to go with your food. Oh, I'll have a paleo this time. Somewhat famous in the region for its spiced paleo, the Boomerang Tavern offers several variations of the hot brewing stimulating beverage. A drop of honey in it? Of course, of course. The referee nods. Then asks if you'd like to have the tavern's proprietary spice blend, commonly referred to as Dragonlight. The reddish powder provides an extra bite to any paint onto which it's sprinkled. Oh, of course I'll have it. The referee nods and hurries away, before returning a few moments later with a steaming mug of paleo containing a drop of honey and sprinkled with dragon bite. She sets the mug down before you and playfully warns you, "It's dangerously hot. Now I'm going to have to touch it now." Before turning to tend to the tavern's hungry and often impatient patrons, toss the referee in some gold. Appreciative of Olafi's diligence, despite the grueling and seemingly endless nature of her toil, you snare attention and toss her some gold, 5 gold. Olafi flashes you a smile as she snatches the coins from the air and slips them into her belt pouch. Then, the harried server moves off to tend to the never-ending demands of the tavern's patrons. After finishing the food and drink, you rise from the table, slowly make your way across the crowded, noisy common room. Right, next up. Fire blackened drumfish. The fire blackened drumfish, caught and prepared daily, is indeed blackened. A thick, charred shell encases the edible portion of the cooked fish, making it a small challenge to work your way in for the first bite. Just as you're about to set in for the meal, Alfie asks if you'll get some drink. Okay, I'll have some paleo again. Won't have the honey. Won't have the dragon bite. Toss her some gold. 25 gold. Alfie's eyes widen, and she flashes a broad grin as she accepts the coins and slips them into her belt pouch. Well, that makes it worth the while, she says, winking. Thank you. Then the harried server moves off to tend to the never-ending demands of the tavern's patrons. Alright, I'm back. Food and drinks. Offer something to drink instead. Palo. Yeah, and this is dust. Save your coin. Okay, I think that's pretty much all you can get from the food and the drink. Alright, now to take a seat by the fire. You find an open spot on one of the log benches flanking the fireplace and spend the next small while with your legs stretched out towards the hearth, casually observing the people who come and go from the tavern. You recognise several fellow adventurers among the throng, bold souls who, like you, are doubtlessly in search of their next perilous exploit. When the heat wafting from the fire becomes too intense, you stand up and make your way to the far side of the crowded room. Anything else happen? No. I think we've done everything here. Leave the tavern. Okay, now we're at 46 minutes. Now, I could probably squeeze in the the available adventures doesn't seem to include the adventure I just unlocked. Oh well. And anyway, back to Stormfield to save. So in the next episode, we'll actually investigate that noise. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.